All right, Donnie, count us down in your top five favorite Left 4 Dead characters.
Left 4 Dead?
The
Why
black one.
Why did you say that?
Lego.
I wanted to try to get him on.
There's two black guys in the second one, and there's one black guy in the first one, so you got to specify, Donnie.
I'm going to say all blacks, because I really don't even know nothing about Left 4 Dead.
That was the joke.
So that's why I said the black one. I went along with your joke.
We're doing Left Behind, so I said Left 4 Dead.
Well, you could have just silenced my what?
It's time for PG Spoilers at ProvenGamer.com. This show is raw and unedited and contains spoilers. So if you're a little bitch, turn it off now. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of PG Spoilers. Holy shit, we're doing another one.
Yeah, about time.
With me is always Donnie.
What up, dope people?
Also with us, I yield to no one.
Hi, everybody.
And that is a true statement.
And also with us, Alex.
Good evening, listeners. Two things real quick. Number one, considering that we're doing another one of these PG spoilers, we obviously have no concern for quality. And two, ham makes a delicious lunch meat.
Yes, it does. Good God, you dropped $800 on a broadcast mixer?
Why would you say that when the message underneath says that the goddess doesn't know about it?
Because Donnie's got mad skills that can edit it out.
This is an unedited, uncensored show.
Oh, then I guess
you
doesn't listen to this one.
Looks like you got some splaining to do.
I guess there's going to be an edit in this show.
Bullshit, you keep that in. Or else I'll say how much you pay for your TV.
Yeah, that's right. I will go back and paste it into my audio.
All right. As I mentioned before, this is an unedited and uncensored show. So if you're squeamish or you don't like foul language, turn it off. This is a spoiler show. Also,
do they ever turn off trophy whores? Because this is the same thing.
This is also a spoiler show on whatever topic we're talking about. And in this case, we are talking about the Last of Us DLC, Left Behind.
Hold on. Before you guys guano all over this, let me say this DLC was awesome, Jay. And the jokes from the pun book had me always rolling. And when things jumped off, I was like, oh, snap. This is some black chaos going on here. Ellie, Rye, we got to get the heck out of here. And I ain't yelling for no one. Peace.
I guess he got his shout-outs done early. All right, before we actually go into the actual game and spoil it, three of us have finished it. Yield, you were currently working on it when we went to record this. So I'm going to go to you first. What are your impressions so far, and how far are you into the game so far?
I just got back from... They were dancing on the table, and the infected come busting in, and Riley pulls out her gun and shoots, and then I go back to the helicopter and jumped out of the helicopter and got my bow, and then I stopped.
Alright. As far as you've gotten so far, how are you liking it? You liking it so far? Or?
I am. I'm really liking it. I'm really liking how they jumped, you know, to back with Ellie and Riley, and then filling in the gap from when Joel poked the hole through himself, and there's no way he should have lived.
Well, no, he didn't hit an artery.
Dude, a 5/8, at least a 5/8, if not a 3/4 inch piece of rebar went clear through the man almost in the midsection. I'm sorry.
Dude.
You're a dead man.
That went through his love handles.
Well, if you want to go that far, and I'm going to give a little shout-out to a lost episode of Spoilers, then Lara Croft should be dead in the beginning of the game because she also had a rebar go through her midsection.
And that was also some very lovely love handles.
All right, Alex, you have completed it. I believe you have 100% of the trophies.
Wait. How are you going to believe him? And I was like the first one who had the 100% of the trophies the first week it came out.
Because we don't ever believe anything you ever say, Donnie.
Believe that. Alex,
True that.
How did you like Left Behind? Obviously, you liked it a lot because you got all the trophies.
Well, I am a trophy whore, so I will. If I like a game enough, I will definitely pursue all of the trophies with a thunderous bloodlust. I will say that obviously, The Last of Us was one. Anyone who listens to Trophy Wars knows that it's been one of my favorite games to come out in the recent years. That BioShock Infinite, Batman Arkham City, in the past 5 years are probably my favorite games. So I just really love that game. Ellie, as much as I really like all the characters they made, soft spot for Ellie and Joel, obviously. Ellie had to be my favorite character, probably, just because of the way she carried herself, how witty she was, you know, in this post-apocalyptic, infected-ridden world. She, you know, I just really like the way they built her character and how they portrayed her and just how, like I said, she carried herself. So seeing more of Ellie's story, especially getting to see what happened between when at the university when Joel got hurt and then when they were hunting and when she was hunting in the woods, deer and stuff to kind of on her own while Joel was out. Like Yield, I really enjoyed seeing that. It's really the best thing for me is that it showed us more about a character I really enjoyed meeting, and I like the whole aspect how it's not a lot of it's exploration, a lot of it's letting you get to know Ellie and Riley and their friendship. I think they built that really well in such a short time. The game takes about maybe two, or the DLC takes about maybe 2.5-3 hours. I thought they really built that relationship really well. Naughty Dog, of course, does characters second to none to anyone in the industry, so I thought they did again a fantastic job with their characters, and I really enjoyed it. As even though it was short, it was still fulfilling. I still felt like I got my money's worth, and I suppose this is, we've heard that this is the last. They're doing no more DLC for The Last of Us, so for now this is our, you know, until a sequel comes if they're doing one. This is our kind of last taste of it for a little bit, and I thought it was really. It left a very good taste in my mouth. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, just to clarify, this isn't the last DLC. This is the last single-player DLC.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, there's more there's another batch of DLC coming, but it's more goggly gunk multiplayer stuff, maps, and...
Well, I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's some bull crap. I thought they were going to have at least two of them, story DLC.
No, because... okay, well, let's get into your impressions, Donnie. What did you think of Left Behind?
I loved it. And going off some of the stuff that Alice already said, I would like to say maybe... Yeah, she's my... To me, it's kind of really hard to pick which one is my favorite character because we really didn't have too many to... choose from is basically one or the other, but I go with Ellie also mainly because I like the fact how they had her personality. You know, she not the whole badassery of her, but the whole aspect of her still being a kid, and she showed it. They showed her still being a kid in this environment. And that right there was great. She didn't come in here like a freaking, what's the white boy from Walking Dead?
Daryl?
Carl.
Carl, okay.
Who need his freaking butt whooped since season 2.
Tricky Mick just picked some random white person from The Walking
Dead.
Exactly. I'm thinking he meant like badass, so.
No, well, Carl's
not a badass.
What I'm trying to say about Carl, he thinks he is. He went to bed one night, woke up, and said, you know what? I'm going to be this. And that's basically how the show is throwing him out there as this so-called badassery kid. And that's the opposite of Ellie. I like that about her. I like how they threw that in her. So, yeah, I enjoyed this a lot.
And
this show even more of a... I'm sorry, this DLC showed even more of a kid she really is.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of piggyback off of Donna there, one of the moments that I kind of just sat there and thought about when I was playing the game was when they were Joel and Ellie were in the forest, and she saw butterflies, and she stopped and she looked at him, and she kind of messed around with him. And you definitely see that innocence, that kid-like quality within her, even though she does kind of carry herself in a more mature manner because she's had to grow up really fast in this world. When you think about it, Ellie is kind of the center of the entire, the core, the heart of the entire story that is The Last of Us. Joel may be her protector. You know, they may be kind of a father-son or father-daughter relationship. Ellie really is the heart of that story. She's the most important character. She's the soul of it, kind of, I would like to think. And to see, I you know, even horror movies have their lighthearted moments where there's, you know, you smile or there's a bad pun or a cheesy laugh or something like that. Ellie was the only person in the story who could make you laugh, really, to be honest, a lot of times smile. And I think that her innocence and just the humor that she brings to The Last of Us, it brings a necessary element to the story. You can't everything be dark and you know, despair. I think you have to have that lighthearted edge, and I think Ellie definitely brings a light to the story that a lot of people can't. It's like when they were in the Halloween shop. I mentioned on Trophy Horse last time we recorded that I love how when they're doing the Skeleseer is essentially a Magic 8 Ball, like the Magic 8 Ball toy, except it's a skull. And they shake it, and you know, you ask it a question, you shake it, and it gives you an answer. And then once Ellie is done with hers, her questions, Riley gets up there and says, "Will Ellie ever be as funny as Riley?" And you know, of course, the skull says no. And then Ellie, just I love her response. It's so fantastic. She says it so casually, but it's so I can just see her hands in her pockets, rocking back and forth. Donnie, could you please do her response for me?
Yeah, I want to do it because I'm like the only one on the show who got like the girliest voice. Like I am so not mature. Right? Well, it could just suck my dick.
Yes, beautiful. That moment in that was my favorite moment from the entire DLC, because it's something that only
hold on, really? You need to grow up too.
It's something that only Ellie can do, and that's make me like in that story. Only Ellie can make me smile and laugh that way. Despite all the darkness and really the human struggle that's tied into this story, here's this, you know, this teenage girl, and she, you know, she brings a certain light to it that I can appreciate, that reminds you really what's so beautiful about life. Yes, everything's gone to shit. Yes, the cities are abandoned. Yes, there's infected everywhere. The clickers, one bite kills you like a fucking super vampire bat. But yet, there's still this sense that there's beauty in life, and I think that Ellie embodies that. She is the epitome of that. Which is why I like that character so much.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. Ellie is... She's the man, I guess you could say.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to post the latest episode of Trophy Wars up.
As
far as my impressions, I liked it. To be honest,
here we go. Here's the devil's advocate.
Well, you didn't even say it right.
You know what I'm saying.
Here's
tricky.
My only gripe with it is, I felt like it was a good tie-in to the fact that they brought us back to the time period from when Joel got hurt to when, you know, we beat Ellie hunting. And they tied the storyline into that, so you flash back and forth. So you can see kind of like how vulnerable Ellie was when she was with Riley to how strong she is now, now that she's, you know, had some time with Joel. But I didn't really feel like they needed to put the Joel parts in the game.
What? I like that, because we kind of got two for one in this, because like I mentioned in, I don't know if it was last week's episode or maybe the week before, I didn't read the comics, so I don't know if the comic went back and forth like this, but if the comic did go back and forth like this, because you got it with the game if you pre-ordered it, And I would have been mad that I read the comic because I would have known something that happened later on in the game. And then I wouldn't want to be told that at the moment. Well,
when did you guys get the comic?
Well, all you got was the first. I think there was what, five? Anyway, you only got the first one. You didn't get the whole series.
But in that episode, was there any mention of Joel in that episode?
No.
In that comic?
No.
Okay, well, cool. Good. That's even better. Like I said, I didn't read it, but I would have been mad if it was in the comic and I did read it.
Okay. With that being said, let's get into the actual game. The game does start off by you seeing Ellie sleeping, and she's quickly awoken and scared by Riley, who comes in. You find out that Riley and Ellie obviously are best friends, and that Riley has been gone for some time. During the time that she's been gone, it turns out that Riley actually joined up and with the Fireflies. She asks Ellie to, you know, take a walk with her and go out, and they move on to the next scene. I don't think you guys really want to say anything pertaining to that, do you?
What the next scene?
Oh, no, considering the scene that I just spoke on.
Oh, no, that wasn't... Hey, that's not the climax yet, or...
All right, yeah. Then the next thing we go into is it cuts to the cutscene of when Joel got hurt and Ellie, was taking him out. And she finally gets him to a place where he can rest and whatnot. And she realizes that she doesn't have any medicine. And she has to go out and find medicine for Joel. You're going into what I was under the impression it's the same mall that you're going through with Riley. But somebody told me it's not the same mall. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed it or... agree with me, don't agree with me, I don't know, but...
I assume that it was the same mall. I didn't see, it's not like you passed through the Halloween store in both times, but I definitely think it was the same mall.
Yeah, you know, malls are huge, man. It's probably at the southwest end.
I didn't think it was the same mall, because they're in Boston.
Who's in Boston?
Oh, yeah, that's
they're,
right.
They're in Boston. When Ellie and Riley were little, and a couple of spots, if you're looking around the mall, it says Colorado something.
Okay, so it is a different mall.
It
then.
Is.
Yeah, that's okay, right. Well, hey.
Well, listen, it was two malls. I really didn't see... obviously, the difference is, you know, in the Joel parts, there's snow on the ground. In the other parts, there's no snow on the ground. So, you know, it's an easy mistake. But you basically have to go as Ellie, present day, and when I say present day, I mean in the Joel timeline, and you have to find medicine. Anybody want to speak on this? Because I don't really want to go point by point by point, but this is the first time in the DLC that we run into our first clicker. So does anybody want to take the lead and actually speak on, you know, this part?
The thing I really enjoy... Donnie, I will cede to you. You, sir, go.
Are you? Oh, well, I just found this. Wait, then I just jumped ahead. So no.
I
no. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the one thing I really liked how they did this first part is they kind of let you know the clicker's there. Like you meet one clicker, but it's completely, you don't have to encounter it. It's completely avoidable. It's easy to avoid. I like how they started off the DLC not throwing you in the mix of a bunch of infected, because that's obviously the most strenuous, hardest part of the game. I like how they kind of eased you in. I think that was a really, really good way to do it. They did more of like the puzzle solving kind of where do I go now? The exploration. I liked how they did the exploration first and didn't just throw you into the heat of a giant infected mosh pit.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was extremely nice for somebody who hasn't played the game in a while.
Yeah, it's much easier to get acclimated to.
So you're saying they're setting this up for the next story DLC?
There
is no more. I have a comment to make on that, but it would send us off in a different tirade right now.
All right. Well, if we start going enough to that high rate, make your comment then. Basically, you find a pharmacy. You go into the pharmacy. You find out that the door's locked. You have to go. There's a note saying that the pharmacist is next door. You go get the key from him to go open the door. And blah, 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 blah.
I fully expected it for him to be in there, and I had to kill him.
Well, I did too. but the pharmacist is...
Well, he was in there.
The pharmacist is dead. He's been dead for a while. He's stuck to the wall. Then you get into the office, and you find out that the first aid kit is actually empty, and there's no medicine in it. Then Ellie looks up and sees a military helicopter and decides to go to try to go to the military helicopter to get the medicine. With that being said, on your way over there, we now cut back to Ellie and Riley again, and they are escaping the military school to go play hooky. I thought you were laughing. You know, all during this, there's obviously collectibles that you can get. I'm reading the walkthrough right now to try to see if there's like anything particular we're gonna talk about.
Well, I just want to go on the fact that another thing that I liked about the game is that they really, really used your environment on this. Like, well, yeah, your environment, your surroundings, I should say. And what I mean by that is that you really didn't have to go into battle with anybody until the very end, because you use the clickers or the infected against.
Well, I was going to say, don't get into that just yet. We're going to have a whole conversation about that when we get to a part like that. But go ahead, you already started it.
That's where we're at.
Well, no.
There's nothing really to talk about. That she's trying to get some medicine for.
Well,
I'm about to call him Gio.
Well, I mean, now that we're back with Ellie and Riley, this is actually where we run into the Halloween store.
Well, yeah. At this point, this is where there's a lot of optional conversations.
They're doing there's a
poster of like Hawaii in the mall that you can go to, and Ellie and Riley will talk about how they plan to go surfing in Los Angeles.
Super Soakers.
There's a sign for the water guns where it talks about how their water guns were stolen by a teacher or professor at the military school. And Riley wants to know, you know, if they got them back. There's a horse saddle. There's a tent where there was a gentleman who both a friend of Ellie and Riley's who they both knew who passed. They go in there and they check out, you know, but they actually find a bottle of alcohol. And they like all young kids are like, oh, well, this is an adult grown-up thing to do. Let's try this. And of course they try it and Ellie spits it out and Riley can barely choke it down. But they kind of set up their past by touching on certain important by using little environmental cues to set off important points in their friendship and in their past, kind of giving you an idea of just how close they were. And that's when eventually they end up at the Halloween store.
Now, I'm sorry, I'm trying to eat dinner while we're doing this.
This is a great spoiler.
Well, it's an uncensored, unedited show, so I'm being real here.
I had the courtesy to turn my mic off while I was eating my sandwich.
Okay, well, we get to the Halloween store, and the first thing is Riley goes in, puts a mask on, and then tells Ellie to put a mask on. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff all over this Halloween store. There's the Magic 8-Ball, there's several masks you can put on, there's a... Even I think there was a bottle of eyeballs.
Yes, on the shelf. You can go look at it. It's an optional conversation. You can go look at it with Ellie.
And Ellie even makes a comment like, "People actually bought this stuff."
I will say that I spent an exorbitant amount of time in that Halloween store, about probably an hour, because I had no clue that you could actually leave. I thought that at some point the girls were going to say, all right, we're done here. We're tired of this. Let's just go. If you stay in there for too long, Riley will literally go up to everything in that store, from the giant Frankenstein to the vampires in the window and the jack-o'-lanterns on the shelf, and make a remark about everything. You can leave very early. Like, you can leave out through the double doors on the other side without putting all the mess.
Did she jump out of the coffin?
Yes.
Yeah, I got her to do that too.
Yeah. So if you stay in there, if you stay in there a long time, there's a lot of little things that they do. They programmed a lot into that scene. You can leave immediately, but I would say that definitely you'll get a lot more out of it if you actually just stay in the Halloween store and just let them go through everything. And it's like, because like Donnie said, it really shows them being kids. It's probably, aside from maybe the arcade and the water gun fight, I know I'm going to go a little ahead here, but that Halloween store is really what kind of reminds you that despite how they talk, despite, you know, how they carry themselves and the way they sneak around and they kind of seem to kind of skirt danger in a way by going out in the military zone without any kind of chaperone, they sneak out of school, they're still very much children. And they're still very young and still very vulnerable. And they still, you know, despite everything, love to have a good time. So that the Halloween scene or the Halloween store is definitely worth seeing everything that's in the store, just hearing the comments. And that's why you play a game like this, not to rush through it and to get to the end, but just to see everything about the world that they've created.
Okay. After you leave the Halloween store, you're challenged by Riley to a brick throwing contest in which you have to be the first person to knock out all 6 windows.
Yeah, they so childish.
Seven windows. And whoever won got to ask the other person the question. I never lost, so I don't know what Riley's question was. Did anybody lose?
No, I figured I'll do that the next time.
Yeah, I did it on purpose. Well, it saves automatically right there, or right before that part, so you can just quit and just redo it. But, I did go through the game, actually, before you... I forgot to say that. I went through the game, like maybe 3 or 4 times, just because I love the game. But, yeah, she asked her... I think she asked her, how does she feel about her leaving or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it is. I could be totally wrong. I can't really remember now.
All right.
So disregard.
Well, I mean, at that point, I'm assuming, Donnie, that she skirts the answer. Like, even as Ellie, you can skirt the answer because Riley kind of dances around the answer that she gives you to any question that you ask. It's not until you get into that arcade where they kind of pull off the gloves a little bit.
Yeah, she actually did it twice. And she, you know, went to the second time when she was like, you know, Rye. I call her Rye because we cool like that. And
Donnie can't say the whole word.
Riley, come on, nah.
He calls us PlayStation a station.
Rowdy Riley.
It's in my DNA, man, to cut words short. But no, I think on the second time she dances around the question. She's like, "Come on, be serious now. You said no BSing." And so she answered it straightforward after that.
All right, well, this section ends with Riley taking you down to a circuit breaker and flipping the power back on to the mall. And then you head out through double doors, and now we're back to Ellie present day. She's heading into, you know, the food court. She's heading up to the helicopter. She finds the gate that you have to get, you know, you have to open up. But as the game goes, there's no power. You have to follow the cable. To get the power, you finally get to the generator, and damn, there's no gas. So you pick up the gas can, and you turn around, and there's 3 trucks there, and you have to try to siphon out gas. But lo and behold, you run into 3 runners. Now, this is the first time that you actually have to get into battle with the runners, because you have to check the gas tanks. I gotta tell you, I had a little bit of a problem with that section the first time I played it.
So did I. They whooped me like 4 or 5 times.
Was actually able to... I searched around the room beforehand, before I actually went to the generator, so I found... I had like 14 or 16 bullets in my gun, on normal, before they came and attacked me. But on Survivor, I had almost no bullets, because I went to the generator first. They came out, and I was like, well, shit. So I had essentially run out of that, run out of the room, run out of those submerged tunnels or submerged hallway, go out to the big room that you started in right by the helicopter, and actually pick up one by one bricks and bottles to throw at the the infected to defeat them one by one.
Yeah.
And that was a little annoying, but that'll just show me to, hey, search around the room before, you know.
Well,
Obviously, when I played on the second time through Survivor, I knew it was coming, so I should have searched around the room for more.
Well, I do know that in Survivor, supplies are a lot less around.
Well, obviously, so, I'm not going to find, you know, an entire clip of ammo, but right. even six bullets would have helped me.
I think on my Survivor run, I never had more than 3 bullets in my gun at any particular time.
Yeah, the Survivor in the DLC is way less scarce in the actual story, like in the main campaign. I'm like, come on, it could throw us something here.
All right, as it being said, after you kill all those runners, you do find a truck with some gas, and you walk over to the generator, you put the gas in the generator, you pull it, and lo and behold, it starts shooting up, and all of a sudden, 3 more runners run at you, but luckily, a wire falls off the ceiling, goes into the water, and electrocutes the shit out of them. You say to yourself, you know, note to self, don't touch the electrified water. You go up onto, what do you call those, the vents?
Yeah, the air vents.
And you make your way across, and then you get on the ladder, you climb up, and then you go to open up the gate that was previously locked, only to see 2 more clickers that you got to take care of, which you really don't got to take care of, but you really should because the gate makes a lot of noise. Once you get up there, you climb into the helicopter. You instantly see a first aid kit. You open it up, and lo and behold, there is medicine for Joel in there. Right after,
man, we just right here.
Cut back.
I thought it was way farther than that.
Cut back to now. We're cutting back to Ellie and Riley to find out Riley's whole reason for taking Ellie out, and that is a merry-go-round in the middle of the mall. You hop on the merry-go-round. You guys have a fun conversation. You get off and you look around, and all of a sudden you see a photo booth. You go in there and you get the first. You start taking pictures, and you can do loving and sexy and all that stuff. And it gives you the first clue that maybe there is a little bit more to the relationship between Ellie and Riley.
No, it does not. Shut up with that, man.
And
oh my god,
I agree with Donnie. I don't. At no point when they did that,
they're together.
They're a couple. They've got feelings for each other. I just thought they were two young kids goofing around, two friends goofing around. There was nothing overtly sexual about anything.
No, I didn't say it was overly sexual. I just said it's the first clue that there might be something more to the relationship between them.
It ain't no.
There was no clue there. Too much. Yeah, you're reading into it too much because you know. It's the hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20 because you know what, after having played the DLC, since you know what happened, looking back for clues. You're reading too much into it. Yield's right.
Okay, with that being said, after you do that, you walk around and you come across an arcade. You look at all the machines, and there are 2 separate machines in the arcade that you can play. One being a game called The Turning, which, if you remember from the main story campaign, was the arcade machine that Ellie was talking to Joel about that she wanted to play one time, but the machine was broken. And lo and behold, this machine's broken as well, but your friend Riley does help you out. She tells you to close your eyes and tells you the buttons to press. And Riley describes a scene of a fighting game, and I thought it was pretty cool that you actually have to input the commands and, you know, 2 health bars come down. I thought that was a really intriguing part of the story.
But wasn't that the easiest boss battle ever?
I gotta tell you, I mean, there's a trophy for not making a mistake, getting a perfect.
Oh, fuck.
I had to do it 4 times before I got a perfect.
That'll take me a while because I suck at fighting games, and it was obvious.
You're not a gamer.
Well, no, it's just it's one of those things where you're waiting for the input commands where, you know, we're playing a fighting game, you're just doing what you got to do. But
yeah, you can't beat Eddie Goro in this.
With that being said, there's also a Jack X machine that you sit down and you vroom vroom, you know, like kids driving a car type thing, and there's a trophy for that as well.
I got that one.
I actually missed that one on my first playthrough. I didn't know about that one. With that being said, Ellie turns around and says, "I gotta start going." But Riley says, "There's music," and she takes off. You guys...
Well, no, that's when they first have their little scuffle.
Right, the first little, hey, listen...
Because Riley tells Ellie that she's leaving Boston. She's leaving the city, and chances are they'll probably never see each other again. And she wants Ellie's advice on what she should do. And Ellie kind of tells her, you know, go, but she, you know, obviously she... In her mind, she's like, I'm going to miss my friend. What am I, you know... She tries to be supportive and say, hey, do what's best for you, but it comes out in a kind of bitter way, which, to be honest, anybody would say, you know, because you always want to keep your friends close, your loved ones close. So we can totally, you know, understand or empathize with Ellie in that situation. But it comes out a little bitter, and that's when Ellie and Riley start going at each other, because Ellie's like, well, what am I supposed to say? So that's the first time you see a little discontent between the two of them. And it continues when they go into the appliance / I guess you would say the department store, with
where
all the
music was coming from.
Yeah, yeah. So they kind of go in there and they hash it out, and
I believe this is the time where they have the water gun fight.
Yes, and Ellie, the thing that really breaks the argument is that Ellie, you know, Riley says, "Yes, I left, but I braved an entire city of clickers and military runners, you know, infected. I could have died coming to see you, but I did. I came to see you. I came and got you. And it was all because, you know, I wanted to see you. It wasn't to save face or anything. She braved the city streets to come see her. So that's really what broke everything. And, you know, Riley then at that point busts out. She unzips her backpack and bust out the water guns, and they have a water gun fight, which gave me a lot of trouble, to be perfectly honest.
I had no problem with it whatsoever.
See,
how you not go mess up on an arcade? I mean, how you mess up on an arcade but not mess up on that right there is almost impossible to get.
Because, the first part of the water gun fight was you just had to soak her.
Which I don't know how I got beat, because I swear I drenched that woman.
And the second part is Riley challenges you to a 2 out of 3 fight, which, you know, you go hide, kind of like, you know, the old school in the game where the way I felt it was kind of like weird, but it was kind of like the scene with Ellie and David in the main story where you're hiding and you got to get to the person first. And the object of the second part was just to get the other one wet first. You didn't have to soak them. I had no problem with it. I don't know why, but...
My issue was I would always see Riley coming, so I had enough time to shoot. But when it got to the point where it's like one hit and you lose the round, I struggled to get my aim down. Like, I would get the stream of water going, but I couldn't move horizontally fast enough for to win the round. I eventually did it because obviously I've got 100% on the trophies, but it took me... I just got my ass kicked for my first playthrough, and then the second playthrough, I actually had to load up a save. I had to save in between rounds, do like 6 saves in between rounds, and then reload the rounds to get that trophy. So at that one, I struggled with that one. Riley seemed very... She wasn't fast with the gun, but she was incredibly accurate. So as soon as she shot it, you were done.
Okay, with that being said, then... They, they calm down. They have a good time, and Ellie says, "You know, I may have said it like a dick, but I mean it. You know, go ahead and leave." And Riley asks Ellie as she's packing up the water guns back in her backpack, "Hey, do you still have your Walkman?" Ellie says, "Of course." And they go over and put it on a radio, which I thought was really weird that they said Walkman, but then they turn around and they got, you know, current technology where they can plug an MP3 in. But with that being said, they put up...
Hey, they didn't have an MP3, man.
They put on the music, and they get on
Dude,
the
Dude, Sony. Sony, Sony made the Walkman. Sony owns Naughty Dog.
With that being said, they start dancing on the counters. They calm down, and you know, gets serious for a second. Ellie leans over and lays a kiss on Riley and immediately says, "I'm sorry," in which Riley responds, "What for?" That's when it was confirmed that Ellie is a fun girl.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you was going to say that because we talked about this last night in our little... In our other special...
We don't know for sure. She...
No, don't even encourage that, she, Ellie, because she's nowhere near a fun girl. She's not a fun girl at all.
Curious, but we don't
know. No, she's not even curious. Don't even encourage... So you're encouraging it by saying curious. No, it's nowhere near... Because it's the same thing... Not saying every family did this, but it, like I explained to you last night about this same conversation we're having now, it's the same way you would kiss your dad or your brother, okay? Not saying every family kissed their brother on the lips, but that's exactly how it is because we already got a real good basis on how their relationship was just by that little 3-hour DLC. We know their relationship was just like sisters, and that's exactly the kind of kiss she gave you. I mean, she gave her. It's not a nothing. It was nothing sensual about it at all. It was a nothing bi-curious about it at all. It was all innocent. I love you. I do not want you to leave. I want you to stay here with me. And as soon as she said that, she snatched the gun dog test off her, and that moment, I cried.
I wasn't totally surprised by the kiss because
I to be honest, even before the photo booth, I had a sense like something like that was going to happen.
Well, see,
I only had the sense because
something was who was the actress for Ellie?
Ashley Johnson.
Okay. Then I totally got my characters mixed up then. So my comment has no point at all.
Okay.
Ellen Page, not a fun girl either. At least he hasn't come out yet.
All right.
What are you talking about? She actually did come out. Actually, she's actually gay.
Actually, it did. Oh, okay. She came out on Valentine's Day, which is when this came out. Which I had my characters mixed up and was like, oh, okay, so there's something funny going on. That's why it's everything's all lined up this way. So that's why when that kiss happened, I was totally not surprised. I figured it was happening, but I got my people mixed up. So
if anything, they probably did like one of those jokey jokes like they always do. Hey, the character looks so much like Ellen Page. Hey, she came out. Hey, so let's just throw this in the show. It's part of this a spoof thing.
No, that story was written long before.
I understand the story was written long before, but I said if anything, it would be that it has nothing to do with anything Tricky is saying or implying.
Listen,
nothing.
All I'm saying is that Ellie leaned over and kissed Riley. And she said, "I'm sorry," in which Riley responded, "What for?" So that's saying Ellie wanted to kiss Riley, and Riley was not objecting to the kiss.
Apparently, she liked it.
No, once again, dude. Once again, you like we said earlier, you're reading too much into this. And yes, that's not all you're saying. You're saying that she's bi-curious. And the reason, in my frame of thought, I would say she says she's sorry is because, yes, they are the same sex. Maybe she's not thinking about that. But I'm just saying I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe, hey, we're the same sex. And maybe she wouldn't feel comfortable with me kissing her. Just like if I walked up to my brother, yes, I love my brother, and I kissed my brother on the lips and said, "Dude, I'm sorry, but I loved you and I miss you."
To me, when she says sorry, she's trying to, you know, it's like, oh, this could potentially be an awkward moment because I think that there is intent there behind Ellie kissing Riley, but I do not think that we can say that she is, you know, a full-out, you know, coming out of the closet necessarily. I think that it is a love for Riley through their friendship that maybe evoked that. But I do think that her saying sorry shows that there is some intent there.
No. No.
All right, with that, let's just move on because we don't want to get wrapped up on that. With that, right after the kiss, we see some...
That's when all black chaos broke out.
We see some runners run in, and then we see Riley pull out a gun, and then we quickly cut back to Ellie present day, back in Colorado. You hear some gunshots in the distance, and this is the first time that you're really going to get into some major battle. Now you're going to have to deal with clickers and humans as they are coming at you. And what I thought they did very, very well in the DLC is there is parts where the clickers and the humans are together at the same time, and you can actually turn them on each other by throwing a brick or throwing a bottle and distracting, setting off the clickers who run after the humans, and then they have to fight themselves. So even on the hardest difficulties, you can still make it easier on yourself by letting them eliminate themselves and then taking out whatever survivors are left.
Brilliant scheme. Brilliant when they thought about that.
I thought that. And I actually listened to an interview on IGN where they said that they wanted to do that for the main game. They just didn't have time to incorporate it totally. So they didn't want to half-ass it. So they took it out of the main game entirely. And they decided when they did the DLC that that was something that they were going to put in without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, give it another shot with another DLC. Come on.
He won't be able to do that. Neil Drunkman's busy now.
Yeah, we have some news for that later in the show. With that being said, as you make your way through the mall, you finally get to the section where the gate is that you locked Joel behind. And you hear the human say, I hear the horse behind us, and they're trying to break in. And you have to try to take out all the humans before they can actually break in and get to Joel. It's actually a part where you're fighting the humans. You finally take them all out. You think the area is clean. You go to open the gate, and all of a sudden a shot ricochets off the gate over your head. And then you are now fighting humans and infected as they are both coming at you. I have to tell you, the humans and the infected really didn't get to me. What was getting to me was that I was trying to take my time to take out everybody, and the humans actually got through the gate and got to Joel before I had a chance to take everybody out. That was my biggest problem with that part of the game.
I don't see how, man. You can easily take him out with just one shot right at the very beginning before everything jumps off.
No, because if you stay hidden long enough,
yeah,
somebody else goes to the gate and tries to get it open.
Yeah, but do it if you do it, take everybody out in time, man, you won't have to worry about the other person. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That was my problem, was that I was low on supplies, so I was having to sneak around and take everybody out from behind.
Then you don't have the sneaker. So you played it wrong. That's what it was, Tree. Because honestly, that second person, they really roam around looking for you for a large amount of time before the other person comes.
I don't know why your playthrough is different from mine. But with that being said, once you get through the whole thing, and I thought it was really weird, and I want to mention this part about this. I thought it was really weird that during this scene, which is basically the last scene of Ellie present time, was the first time that you were able to get the rifle. And I thought it was really weird that they introduced the rifle in this fight where basically it's useless because you only get 3 bullets for it and you're really not going
to
use it.
It wasn't... Yeah, you really didn't have the need to use it in the other part of the story.
I just want to say why they introduced it so late in the story if they were going to introduce it at all.
I agree with Tricky there, but I will say at that point, any extra ammo that I could get at scrounge up was definitely a plus. Maybe it's one of those things where they wanted a stronger weapon. So when you were hit, it was like a one-hit kill from the hunting rifle to Ellie. Maybe it was them adding like an extra layer of challenge to make the enemies tougher, because you would die faster from a hunting rifle. But I as far as like if giving, you know, giving us a weapon to use, it makes no sense to introduce it that late in the game. I agree there. But at that point, you know, I was just like scrounging for ammo, scrounging for weapons. I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, we did lose Yield for a second here, so hopefully he'll make it back. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't use it at all anyway, the rifle.
Well, I didn't use it either. It was just ironic that the last enemy I killed, I happened to get the rifle from.
Yeah, I didn't even use it in Survivor. Survival mode.
Well, with that being said, after you take out all the humans and the infected, you finally get the gate open, and you get in and you get back to Joel. And then we quickly cut back to Ellie and Riley again. And now, because they're, what I thought was nice in the Ellie and Riley part was you really didn't have to fight. It was all about exploring and having a good time. It was a nice palate cleanser to all the chaos that we experienced in the main game and in the DLC. And basically you're running and, you know, there's times where, you know, an infected gets to Riley and you jump on the infected, you stab it with your knife, and then you go off running. Basically get to the end, and you quickly find out that both Riley and Ellie have been bitten.
Which, bringing that up, it was no indication at all that they got bit. Even doing a tussle, you can see everything clearly, and I didn't see anybody bite or anything bite anybody.
Well, I mean, I
understand the whole climax or drama that you had to add to it just because.
Well, we knew that Ellie was gonna get bit. I mean that.
Oh yeah, we knew that, but they didn't show it in the cage. They didn't show any teeth bite. Go into it. They didn't even see her get caught like that. So that's what I'm saying. Well, that they didn't show.
Well, that was the reveal. Is that after everything settled down, you see Riley, you know, show her bite, and then you see, you know, Ellie didn't even know she was bitten until Riley said, "Hey, look at your forearm," and then they saw the bite.
I don't think you hear me clearly. Like they didn't. Like you can see the whole tussle with every enemy that they encountered. They had to tussle with. You never seen not one of them actually sink their teeth into her. Like, and you can see everything clearly.
No, I got what you're saying. I'm just saying that maybe they didn't do it on screen to, you know, to lead up to that reveal where they show that they were bitten. Okay. With that being said, you know, they're both sitting there. They both show their bites. Riley says, "Well, we have one or two options. We can either end it now on our way, or we can, you know, just go on and live our lives until, you know, we turn," and they decide, "Hey, we're just gonna keep living."
This is the only gripe that I have about the DLC. I asked Tricky about this, my point was that I would love to, if we're not gonna get another single player DLC, another story DLC, I would have liked to have seen the last days for Riley. Like, I would actually like to have seen what happened to her, because Tricky pointed out that, you know, Ellie tells Joel in the main game that, "Hey, I had this friend Riley, you know, we were bitten, you know, she died a few years later." I don't remember that part. It's one of the parts that I do not remember, so it's like, if you're like me and you don't have someone like Tricky around to tell you, you kind of end this DLC, it's like, well, what happened? What's going on?
The scene I told you about, it's literally after, in the main game, after you beat the story and you take the car ride and Ellie wakes up in the car, you know, still in the hospital gown. When you finally park the car and you're heading back to Joel's brother, it's the scene where Ellie tells him, you know, "Promise me everything you told me about the fireflies was true." During that scene is when she goes, "You know, I never told anybody about this, but I had a friend Riley and all that other stuff."
But I mean, without having played the DLC first and knowing Riley, it could be hard, because that's not the most important part of that scene. What your mind remembers is, you know, Ellie, you know, the decision that Joel made to save Ellie at the expense of possibly the entire world, right, the rest of humanity. So it's easy to forget that little nugget that of information that she gave Joel, that her friend Riley died. So you may not remember it by the time you get around to playing this DLC, essentially since it's about 8 months after the game's come out. So for me, you know, I would like to see, you know, even if they do at the end of the DLC, just kind of a montage of what happens, like the final days of Riley, and then Ellie, you know, lamenting the loss of her friend, you know, sobbing and crying. Like, I think I would have liked to have seen more of that. I mean, maybe, you know, they didn't want to get too far and show too gruesome of a death of a, you know, a young girl who maybe many people, even in 3 hours, would have gotten attached to. After, I guess, Joel's daughter, I take that back, because Joel's daughter dies, obviously, at the very beginning of The Last of Us. So they have, no problem showing a young girl be, you know, passing or being killed.
Hold up. Speaking of his daughter, and we all brung up the whole love handles thing earlier, was it everybody's major organ over there because his daughter got shot in that spot? He fell into a rusty, huge screw in that exact area. And Laura, too. She fell in that same area, too.
What I would have liked to have seen, as far as the DLC goes, is the way that Ellie wound up with the Fireflies. Because, you know, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, you know, we find out that Riley is a member of the Fireflies, and she rips off of the pendant when Ellie asks her to stay. After they're bitten, do they go back to the Fireflies? Do they go back to their barracks? Do they?
This is one of those things that I guess you have to bridge the gap. You kind of have to create your own from where you know, because obviously when you first meet Ellie in the main story. She is with Marlene. Marlene was the Fireflies, the head of the Fireflies, right. Correct. In the DLC, obviously, they bring it up. Ellie and Riley talk about the Fireflies and how Marlene wants Ellie to stay in school. Marlene is worried about Ellie and Riley hanging out because she thinks that Riley will get Ellie in trouble. Obviously, they talk about how Ellie's mother knew Marlene and actually left Ellie to Marlene. I believe so, in one of the letters that she wrote her that you can find and left behind.
During this DLC, if you remember correctly, Ellie makes the comment, maybe I should have joined the Fireflies, and Riley says to her...
Yes, Marlene wants her to stay in school.
Right. Riley says, you know, don't you think that was one of the first things I said? But Marlene wants you to stay, you know, wants to keep you away from all of this.
But at a certain point, if you're Marlene... you take, if you need bodies, if you need reinforcements, if you need support, I guess you got to say, you know what, we'll take you. And I guess from Marlene's standpoint, at some point it's safer to Ellie to be with Marlene under her protection than it is to be at a school where she's kind of on her own despite all the people around her.
See, the way I took Marlene was the feeling that she really didn't want Ellie to be around. But once that she knew that she was infected and that she was immune, she became, you know, top priority. And I think, to me, in my understanding of the story, that is why Ellie was, quote-unquote, a member of the Fireflies, even though she really wasn't an official member. But I think that's why Marlene took to her, especially after playing this DLC and finding out that Marlene wants to keep me away from all this. You know, once I get bitten and I get infected and, you know, I've proven to be immune and I'm possibly the cure for all humanity, I think that's why Marlene actually took Ellie into the Fireflies.
Yeah, but I got a question about that whole Marlene character.
Okay.
Because if they know Marlene.
Right.
Marlene left a friend left a child in care of Marlene. So, why is Marlene trying to kill them before all this stuff even happened? Because they spoke on, earlier in the game, I was for sure that Marlene was going to shoot me right there. That's what Riley said. And I just knew she was going to shoot me right there. I just knew she was going to shoot me this time. So, evidently, she's been trying to kill these kids or threaten to kill these kids before.
Well, no, I... As far as my understanding, my recollection, I may be misremembering it, but I think it was Riley was talking about when she went to join the Fireflies, she was scared that
she was going to shoot her this time. She said this time.
Right. I don't think that Marlene was actually ever going to shoot her. I think it was just Riley's impression of, hey, I want to join the Fireflies, and she was scared that Marlene's going to say, fuck you, boom, you're dead.
A test of loyalty.
Right. I don't think Marlene actually ever attempted to kill the kids. I think it was just a fear of what was going to happen.
No,
If they wanted to kill the kids, she knew that which school they were in. They could have gone anytime they wanted to and killed them.
Yeah, but the way they explain it, it seemed like she was actually implying that she tried to kill them or threatened to kill them or her before.
Now.
Before, and then the whole test of loyalty thing. Like you said, Tricky, the whole test of loyalty. Now, she didn't go through with the whole test. She would have killed her right there instead of just sending her back to the school.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
see, that's what I'm saying. They implying it like
awfully
heavy on her threatening these kids.
Well, I mean, my impression of Marlene through the main game was always that she was a hard ass. You know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to fucking kill you. You know, I took Marlene as like a no-nonsense bullshit girl saying, listen, this is what this is the way it's going to be and whether you like it or not. But I did have a gripe with this game, and I think I mentioned this off an episode. I don't remember if I said this to Donnie or to Alex, but... to be fair, I originally said that I was going to mention this on this episode, but I kind of agree with what I was told about my feelings about this. One of the gripes I had with this is that when you're Ellie in present time, or, you know, you get bitten, and all of a sudden you die. If a clicker gets you, you die. And I thought that was really redundant because it's already proven that you're immune to this. So why are you going to die? And I don't remember...
Didn't they actually eat her?
Now here's what... Whenever a clicker bites you, it goes to the neck. Major arteries. It'll kill you. She doesn't die from infection. She dies from being just the massive trauma. It ties to being bitten in a major artery. Blood vessel.
Well, see, that's why I said I understand your point of view now. But when I was playing the game, I was like, how am I dying from being bitten? Because... But I never really took it into the concept that they're killing me from, you know, taking a chunk out of my neck, but I'm not dying from the infection.
Yeah, they died. She died immediately when that happens, whereas with an infection, if you're bitten, you die over the course of days.
Right.
Speaking of the whole course of days, then didn't you just say that Ellie said years later Riley died from the body?
It's days later.
Days later she died.
Oh, I could have sworn you said years later.
Now, one of the Easter eggs that I don't know if you guys picked up in the DLC. Did you guys happen to see the Twitter feeds?
Yeah, I saw the one for the pharmacist. I haven't added that one yet.
They actually
Twitter feed.
Yes, they.
Where was this at?
Well, actually, on Twitter. If you go to certain. Twitter accounts on the actual Twitter, real life Twitter, when they were making this game, they went out on certain days and tweeted out certain things. Like the pharmacy, on September 10th, they put $8 rewards when you buy two or more packs of disposable razors. 10 days later, they tweeted out candy.com, candy.com, caramel, gummy bears, and candy bar chunks and vanilla yogurt. Halloween's getting closer. And then on September 26th, it says, if you must leave your home, ensure your pets have enough food and water.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm still lost. Is this in the game or
this is
on actual Twitter?
This is Twitter. On the walls in the game, there are Twitter accounts. If you follow them on your real-life Twitter... they are real accounts that Naughty Dog made and tweeted out so you could actually go and see where the infection was happening, how it was happening, what happened at this particular time. and as it turns out.
Is that a cheap way of giving us DLC?
No, it has nothing to do with DLC.
How's that an Easter egg then?
Okay, maybe you're not understanding the...
Yeah, I'm not. I'm straight lost. Like, I don't understand how is that a DLC. Okay. I mean, how is that an Easter egg?
Because what they did was they took a character that's in the game and they gave that character a Twitter account. That if you were following this account on these dates, the character in the game was tweeting in real life and you could see when the infection was actually going on.
Oh, okay, I got you. Man, there's so many reasons to make another freaking DLC here, man. But, what the heck?
Well, now that I know this, I have a major, major slight with this whole DLC. And this whole game in general. And that the infection happened on September 26th.
Okay.
That's my birthday.
Ah, oh, here we go. It's a sign, people. It's a sign.
The infection and the zombie outbreak or the infected outbreak happened on my birthday.
Tricky is the harbinger of the apocalypse.
I was going to say.
Exactly. That's basically what they're saying. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I agree.
I knew you was the omen.
All right. With that being said, general consensus, we all love this DLC. And as Donnie has stated many, 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 many times, he wants another story-based single-player DLC for the game. Recommendation, guys, buy it, pass.
Don't act like I'm the only one. Most definitely
buy it. I'm in Donnie's camp on that. Buy it.
And Yield?
Don't rent it. Don't rent it. Don't go to GameFly.
So far, I'm really liking it. $15 worth.
That was my point.
When I get completely through it, I can finally be like yay or nay. But so far, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm not disappointed with my $15.
Both of you guys, I'm disgusted with you right now. Don't freaking start on a freaking price point. The price point is a freaking gold mine steal compared to freaking Phantom Pain or whatever that is coming. Ground Zero. Oh, so, Donnie. Come on now. Don't even go on that.
All right, that is going to conclude this episode of PG Spoilers. We thank you for listening this far. If you have any recommendations for future shows, please be sure to...
I thought we were going to get into that other thing.
I'm sorry. Rewind. I'll edit all that out. Yield, you want...
Wait a minute. How are you going to edit an unedited show?
Okay,
See, that's what happened with the...
All right,
Tomb Raider, and look what happened.
All right, stop derailing this. Yield, I know you said you wanted to talk about something. I don't remember what it was right now. Donnie's throwing me off.
No, I was gonna say when said something about Donnie really wants another sequel or another DLC, story mode. And I said, well, Neil Druckmann's too busy.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you want to know why Neil Druckmann's too busy? Because apparently, when he writes one blockbuster video game, he's Quentin Tarantino and forces out Henning, and he's going to be busy writing Uncharted. So,
yes, breaking last night. This recording is being done on March 5th. So on March 4th, late, it was announced that Amy Henning, the writer behind the Uncharted series, has reportedly left Naughty Dog. It has recently come out that rumors are speculating that she was actually forced out by Neil Druckmann and I don't remember the other director's name.
The other dude that helped wrote Last of Us.
And reportedly, those two are taking over the Uncharted series. I don't know how I feel about that.
I feel like
I don't want my Uncharted to get dark and gruesome like The Last of Us.
It's just like I said. I mean,
well, let's be honest. Uncharted was dark and gruesome at certain points.
I mean, what are they going to do? Bring Eddie Raja back as a zombie? I hate just you, like, Drake.
Well, let's not act like Supernatural is not part of Uncharted already.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, from the very beginning.
Every single game in that series has a supernatural, more absurd element to it than anything in The Last of Us.
Well, the third one really didn't have a supernatural.
Yes, it did. Those hallucinations in the...
Yeah, but it wasn't like the first two games where they had supernatural.
With the dude spitting fire? That wasn't?
Yeah.
And teleporting?
The old white lady... Freaking mystical as hell.
Like Tricky said, I don't really know what to think. I'm kind of ticked off. I mean, if they really forced her out, why? And why would Evan and I can't remember the other guy's name? Why would they let this happen? I mean, to me, Amy helped make Naughty Dog who they are. If it wasn't for her and Uncharted, they wouldn't have been able to go out on a limb for Last of Us and Sony go, yeah, do it.
All right.
I disagree with that.
Speaking on the article.
Hold on. Can I say that Naughty Dog was formed long before Amy Hennig got there. She may have been a part of it in the early years that I don't know of, but she first became a big name when Uncharted came out. Uncharted was a safe play. It turned out great, and they executed on it very well. Great games, but it was a safe play. It was Indiana Jones mixed with Lara Croft. And I think that Naughty Dog had established itself far before that, which is why Sony bought them in 2001, far before Uncharted came out.
All right. The article that we're speaking of says Amy Hennig, creative director and writer on the Uncharted series, has left developer Naughty Dog. Numerous trusted sources close to Naughty Dog have verified Hennig's departure from the studio. She was writing and leading development of Uncharted PS4. Her final day at the studio was Monday, March 3rd.
All you motherfuckers complaining about Uncharted 3 for no fucking reason. You all caused this.
Sources claim Hennig was, quote, forced out by Last of Us, Neil Druckmann, and Bruce Straley, and explained that the Uncharted may now come under their control. Hennig recently celebrated her 10th anniversary with Naughty Dog, where she served as director and writer on Uncharted Drake's Fortune, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, and Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception. And they, in an updated report where they contacted Sony and Naughty Dog, they have verified that Amy Hennig's departure. They have confirmed that she has left Naughty Dog. Amy has made significant contributions to the game industry and appreciate all she's done for Naughty Dog, and the development timeline of Uncharted will not be impacted. So, I don't know how to feel about it, but
I guess we'll know how to feel about it when we play the next Uncharted game.
Well, if you guys ever buy a PS4, you'll know.
Well, I'm buying.
It'll happen.
I'm buying a PS4, just not right
now. I'm not buying a PS4 to play Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Well, I can play that on the PS3.
Buy a PS4 to play Metal Gear.
I'll buy a PS4 to play Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, and Uncharted 4.
All right, speaking of Arkham Knights, we did a Trophy Horse special episode last night that will be posted shortly before this one is. So if you listen to this one, make sure you check on the Trophy Horse feed. And we do have episode 150 coming soon.
You did a special last night and didn't include me?
Well,
I wasn't included in it either, Yeldon. By the way, that's episode 150.
Yeah, that's 150.
That's not 150.
You fucking dicks, you recorded 150 without half of us.
Yeah!
We did not record 150. It was a late night recording. We didn't start recording until 11:30 at night. I didn't want to wake you two gentlemen up to...
Well, good, because I had to work this morning, and I have to work tomorrow morning, too.
All right.
Well, good, because I all was that in bed said, at 11:30, so you could have called. All you would have got was voicemail.
With that being said, with this uncensored show, that is going to bring us to the end of this episode. Listeners, we appreciate you listening to us this far. If you are, if you have any ideas for future shows, be sure to contact us. You can contact any of us on Twitter. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. And you can contact Alex at Saundersaurus Rex. Or you can always give us a phone call. Donnie, what's the number?
330-PROVEN-9, 330-776-8369, and I know that was a test,
That wasn't a test. You said you were back. Or you can email us at trophydoors@provengamer.com. We're not going to do all the rest of the housekeeping because I'm sure you've heard it many times on Trophy Horse. So with that being said, thank you, Donnie. Thank you, Yield. Thank you, Alex. I'm Tricky Mick, and good night.
Later.
Peace out.
I'm going to go finish Last of Us.